This morning, we are doing something we should have done the first Sunday in April, but we were not allowed to be here the first Sunday in April. The first Sunday of April of each year, it is my responsibility to teach about deacons, characteristics, qualifications, those things like that. And so we're going to do this morning. And in doing it this morning, we're going to look at Acts chapter 6. So let's do this first. If you brought your Bible, would you hold it up? Electronics, fine. You know, cell phone, tablet. Good, good, very good, very good. All right, turn to Acts chapter 6. Like I've said before, you know, cell phones for Bible is fine. During church, for Facebook is not fine during church. Instagram, Snapchat. Is that even still a thing anymore? Is anybody Snapchat anymore? Yeah. Okay. You don't, you know somebody does. Oh, okay. How about TikTok? Oh, that's bad. Yeah, well, there's a lot of people trying to hijack that and do really bad stuff with it. But you know, if it's electronic and if it's connected to the internet, there's a lot of folks trying to hijack that and do a lot of really bad stuff with it. So be careful. But if you have it for your Bible, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Turn to Acts chapter 6. Have you got it? What page are you on? Okay. I'm assuming that's all the answers I'm going to get for who has found it. Alrighty, we're a little late getting started on this process of talking about who our deacons are and what the qualifications are. But I want you to keep in mind next week, June 14th, the Sunday before Father's Day, next week, we're going to make our nominations. We're going to vote on them. We would normally do that in the June business meeting, but all this, you know, Rona shows up and does all kinds of bad stuff and knocks us off our schedule. So we're going to vote on them in the July business meeting. And they'll begin to serve in August. Normally they, you know, new deacons would begin to serve in July. So we're pushing that back a month. But this year has kind of been an unusual year. I'm not going to say it's going to get better from here on out because that doesn't seem to be the case. It's one thing right after another. Been an interesting year. I want you to look in your bulletin. There is a sample of the ballot we're going to be using. It's going to be the same as this, except it's not going to have sample written across the front. And on that day, next Sunday, you're going to write down names of those that you think are qualified to serve. I want you to, and I'm going to mention a little later on, I want you to make this a matter of prayer, though. We're not looking for a good old boys club. It's not what we need. We're not looking for perfect church attendance, really. Because oftentimes there'll be those who are here every week who are not qualified to serve. I'd like you to be here every week. I'm all for perfect church attendance. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the qualifications that are lined out for us in 1 Timothy chapter 8, or chapter 3. And then in what we're going to look at this morning, Acts chapter 6. But make this a matter of real prayer. Now, the procedure for this is spelled out in our Constitution bylaws. And if you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know what that says, we'll get you a copy. Call the church office. We'll get a copy to you. Godly deacons are a great benefit to any church. And I want every member to make nominations, but again, I don't want you to take this process lightly. I want it to be something that you have prayed over. You sought God, and He has led you to names to nominate. And since we need to carefully and prayerfully consider who should be our deacons, I believe that we need some teaching from Scripture about the role of deacons in the local church. So we are in Acts chapter 6, and this morning we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7. Point number one is this, the need for deacons. The need for deacons. Now let's look at verses 1 and 2, and then jump down to verse 4. You ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, I'm just curious. I asked ready, and y'all's looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You know, kind of mouth kind of hung up, open, you know. I'm just making sure. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. You follow along there in your copy of God's Word. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables." Now jump down to verse 4. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So the question is, why were the deacons needed? I'm talking about a need for deacons. Well, what is that need? Why is there that need? First thing is this. Deacons were needed because the church had grown. The church had grown. Verse 1 says, "In those days that the number of the disciples was multiplying." They were experiencing church growth. In fact, not just church growth a little bit at a time. They were experiencing rapid church growth. A whole lot of church growth. Over in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And as the church grew, guess what? The problems grew. Isn't that the truth? As organizations get bigger and bigger, well, then we have disagreements and we've got friction. You get two people in a room for just a little while, you know what they're eventually going to do? They're going to disagree. Husbands, you know anybody like that? Wives, do you know anybody that you're in a room with for just a little bit of time and you disagree? Where two or more are gathered together, there's going to be a disagreement. The problems grew. There were more people to be taught, more people to be helped, more people to be visited and fed. Now, the message of the church never changes. It is Christ and Him crucified. But the organization of the church needed to be changed. Since we went through a row clearing a couple of years ago, we had 500-600 people on our row that we didn't have a clue where they were. Or they were off, you know, part of another church, and we're still carrying them on our row. So we had a row clearing, cleaning a couple of years ago, and now we have about 100 resident members. Now, we've also got a number of regular guests that we try to minister to. There's no way that I can minister to this number of people without the help of our deacons. There's no way. I'm just one guy. I may be big enough to be two guys, but I'm just one guy. And the older I get, it seems like there's less and less I can do. So we need the help of our deacons. The church had grown. Secondly, the church was dividing. It was dividing. Verse 1 also says that there was a complaint. It was raised against the Hebrews, that's the Jewish believers, by the Hellenists, that's the Greek believers, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. In other words, the Gentile believers felt the Jewish believers were treating them wrong. And if it wasn't for the wisdom of the apostles, this could have been grounds for the very first church split. Deacons helped solve this problem. You know, church splits are terrible, ugly things. How many of you have been in a church that split before? Some of you have. And you know they rip churches apart and friendships apart and families apart. and they are terrible, ugly things. And some churches never recover from them. They never do. Now, I believe that our church is a pretty much unified church. But the deacons we elect, along with those who are currently serving, will enable us to minister more equally to all our people. They'll help us to prevent hurt feelings, because feelings are going to get hurt every now and then. They're going to help us prevent conflict. Listen, hurt feelings and conflict is often the cause of divisions. And if we can take care of these things, then we won't have to worry about divisions. The church was dividing. There's a problem. The problem had to be addressed. Deacons were also needed because the pastors knew their priorities. It says in verse 2, the 12, that's the apostles, that's the pastors of the early church. They said it's not desirable. In other words, it's not a good thing that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Instead, they said in verse 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. The pastors knew their place. They knew their priorities. And they could not do those things if they were out putting out fires, little fires all over the place. They needed help. They needed help. The pastors knew that they'd been called and gifted, commissioned by God for a special ministry, namely prayer and the ministry of the word, the study and the preaching of the Bible. If they spent all of their time caring for those who were neglected, they would be unfaithful to their calling. They knew their priorities. And since the widows obviously needed help, the church needed to set aside other folks to serve them. And as I've said before, I need to spend a lot of time praying and studying to prepare to accurately teach you the word. I don't want to give you TV dinners. You know what I'm saying? Used to be you'd kind of stick them in the oven and then just kind of heat them up and go. I don't want to give you microwave sermons. I want to give you real food. I want to be able to, first off, understand for myself the deep things of God's word and then be able to teach them to you so that together we grow in our understanding and in our obedience to the word of God. Next Sunday, we're going to be back to our regular schedule, which means I'm going to be preparing to accurately teach you the Word of God for Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday evenings. And guess what? That takes time. And the older I get, the more time it takes, because I can't remember nothing. If it's not written down, it ain't happening. In fact, sometimes if it is written down, it ain't happening. Because I just can't remember. So it takes me a while to get prepared to bring you a good homemade meal on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now, I'm not saying this to say I don't want to be bothered. That's not it. That's not it. I want to help in any way I can. But I can't avoid my responsibility to God to prepare to teach His church what His Word says. That's why we need deacons. That's where they come in. They are to help the church by ministering to the physical needs of the people. The physical needs of the people. That's where they are. That's why the early church needed them. They had some physical needs of the people that the pastors could no longer meet. That's number one, the need for deacons. Number two is this. The selection of deacons. Not only was there a need, but there was a process. There was a selection going on. Look at verses 3 and 5. You ready? Verse 3 says, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Man, I love those Bible names. I was going to say they chose Stephen and these other guys. Stephen and the boys. And that's the ones that they chose to do this business. Just a side note. I would love it when I'm dead and gone, if someone would think back about me and say, oh yeah, Gary, that man was full of faith in the Holy Spirit. What a testimony of a godly man. Now, I'm not expecting that to be what folks remember. They're probably going to remember, well, he was hard-headed and stubborn, and he couldn't remember nothing, and he had a sweet wife, but he wasn't sweet. You know, whatever it is, I get that. But I'm just thinking, Stephen, what a great testimony of a godly man. He was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the apostles' qualifications for these deacons. There's five of them that are mentioned here. First off, the first deacons were believers. They were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you would think, oh, we don't have to talk about that. We do, first off, because it's in Scripture. It says the apostles told the church to seek out from among you. They were to look inside the church body. The most basic qualification for the office of deacon is salvation. A genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. Many churches and their fellowships have been severely damaged because they ordained deacons who had no personal relationship with Jesus. And you might think, well, preacher, that's surely not true. But it's happened. It's happened. They elect someone as a deacon because they're part of the church and they attend regularly and they're even members of the church and they're really good at business. And they've got this high reputation in the community and they think, well, this is the kind of person we need as a deacon. And they're not followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because churches have put a lost person in a position that a saved person ought to have, there's been a whole lot of churches that have really suffered over this. It's happened. I don't want it to happen here. So the very first qualification was these deacons were believers. They were committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, they were reputable. Reputable. They were men of good reputation. They had integrity. They were trustworthy. They had a good reputation inside and outside the church. There are some people who have good reputations in the church, but outside the church, it's not that good. I still remember a young lady. I can't remember how long ago it was. I'm telling you, memory's bad. But she had gotten a job. I think it was in a doctor's office. Bless you. There wasn't any heart attack come with that, was there? Okay. All right. Bless you. That was quite a sneeze. I've lost my place. You know, I got to start all over again now. And I was getting close to wrapping this thing up, but no, not now. No. She got a job working in a doctor's office with the doctor who was a member of the church. And not only was he a member of the church, he was a deacon in the church. And she was thinking, this is going to be great. But that man was mean as a snake. And he used foul language all the time. And her spirit was just almost broken. Because she knows that's not how Christians are supposed to act. Especially not a deacon. We're looking for people who have good reputation inside the church and outside the church. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who can be trusted, who are faithful, who've already proven themselves. Thirdly, the first deacons were Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. Without going to a whole lot of great detail here, we know to be full of the Holy Spirit means to be surrendered to or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean, oh, well, that means they jump pews and do cartwheels down the aisles and wave hankies and speak in something that nobody can understand. That's not what we're talking about. To be full of the Holy Spirit means that they have given all of themselves to God, and they're being controlled and moved and led by the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that means, to be full of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the kind of people we need to serve as deacons. Deacons were Spirit-filled. Number four, the first deacons were wise. Now, here's a word. You look around the world today and you see that there are not a whole lot of folks that are wise. I guess I ought to confess this is sin. I don't know. I enjoy watching live PD. You ever seen it? I've told you about this before. You know, they get a camera guy rides around with a policeman. And you get to see a bunch of folks who ain't wise. There's not a wise bone in their body. I watch that show. I feel so much better about myself after I watch their show. Because there's some stupid people out there. We need deacons who will be wise. It says not only were they full of the Holy Spirit, but also full of wisdom. I think this kind of wisdom is the ability to see a situation from God's point of view. We need deacons who won't act impulsively, but will use godly wisdom in ministry and decision making. Now there's another thing about wisdom that we need to see, I believe. Over in the book, I'm going to show it to you here. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 30 says this. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. There's a good definition of someone who's wise. What does a wise person do? They win souls. To win souls is to lead other people to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think what this means is that our deacons need to be able to do this. They need to be able to lead others to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When someone comes to them and says, I want to be saved, they'll know what to say. They'll know what to do. And by the way, listen, that ought to be the same for every believer. If someone were to come to you this afternoon and say, whoever, I need to be saved. Can you help me? You ought to be able to say, well, yes, I can. And go to God's Word. And if you don't have a Bible with you, be able to tell them enough about how you found Jesus Christ so that they can find Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks walk around who are unarmed in this area. They don't have a clue. You need to have a clue. I'm just telling you. If you don't know, catch this, if you get nothing else in here before you leave out today, if you don't know how to do that, learn. Learn. It's not that hard. Learn. Number five. To win souls is to lead others to Jesus Christ. The deacons were capable. They were capable. Notice that the church would appoint them over this business, the business of taking care of widows. These were men who could handle the situation. They were given a task. You need to take care of these widows. And they were able to do it. They were capable to do it. We also need capable deacons who we can trust with the responsibility of ministering to others. Capable. Now, next I want you to notice the church's approval of deacons. The church was pleased with this plan. It just made sense. the whole multitude could say, well, amen, let's do it. So they elected the first deacons, and in selecting Stephen and Philip and the other guys who have harder names to pronounce, there was no hint of controversy. We don't read about a group saying, well, I like that Philip guy, but man, that Stephen, I don't like him. He rubs me the wrong way. I don't like him. The whole multitude was pleased. By the way, it's not really who we like anyway. It's who has God appointed for this service. Let's move on. Number three, the ordination of deacons. Verse 6 says, it picks up in the middle of a sentence, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. First thing is, the new deacons were set before the apostles. And although the Bible doesn't specifically say how this happened, I believe they were set before the apostles in some sort of public ceremony. Maybe during the regular time of worship. That's what we do when we ordain new deacons and have an ordination service. We do that in our regular time of worship. But I believe it was some sort of public ceremony that signified not only the approval of the church, but it also signified the approval of the church leadership. When we elect our new deacons, they're going to be set before you, the church family. Now, it may be that they've already been ordained as a deacon, or that they need to be ordained as a deacon, but either way, they're going to serve under the approval of the church. Now, see also in verse 6, the apostles prayed over them. That's kind of neat that they said that. The apostles prayed over them. Have you ever thought about what the apostles prayed? Did you ever think about it? Well, what I wonder what they did pray. Scripture doesn't really tell us. In an ordination service, generally, and sometimes they have them, the people who are getting ordained kneel in front of the church, and those who are ordained would come and lay hands on them and pray. And I remember when I was ordained to the ministry, they set me in a chair because my knees aren't real good. Never have been. And the deacons and other ordained ministers would come and pray for me. And I was thinking, I'd already had this landing pad cleared off up here. And I'll bet some of them walk up to me and pray, and they would put their hands on my head, and they're thinking, man, I am gazing into a crystal ball. Or maybe they thought they could shake it like the magic eight ball and see what the message was, and just kind of float to the top. I don't know, but we do that with our deacons. We're going to set them and pray over them. And here's some things I pray for. I don't know what other deacons pray for when they pray for new deacons. I pray that they'll continue to be faithful in their service to God. Not that they will begin to be faithful, because we don't need somebody who says, oh, I'll be faithful if you let me to serve. We want somebody who's already faithful. I pray that they'll grow in their relationship with Christ. I pray that they might have a significant, effective ministry within the church. When we select our new deacons, I hope you'll pray for them. In fact, I hope you're already praying for them. Already praying for them. Letter C, verse 6 also says the apostles laid hands on them. When they do that, they're not passing on some kind of special powers. I now confer on you the power to serve God as a deacon. No. No. It's a sign of a blessing. It's not a sign of passing on authority. It's a sign of a blessing. It signifies the identification, the affirmation, and the affection of the church. It's not passing on special powers. I used to think that as a kid. Usually we were in fairly large churches and very formal churches, and they do this thing, and there'd be a whole wall full of guys standing there in their best suits and ties. Old guys. Old guys. I'm not going to call Cheryl by name, but you know what I mean. I love you, Cheryl. Just want you to know. I'm speaking my love language. Just ask my kids. But they come on and they walk real slow and dignified, and they put their hands on them. And I was thinking, man, what are they doing to these guys? Are they going to make them superheroes? You know, pass on this special power to you? No. It's a sign of a blessing. That's what it is. Number four, the benefits of deacons. Okay, so what? We got deacons. We've elected them as a church. We've gone by the qualifications. We've elected them. We've had them come before the church. We've laid hands on them. We pray for them. So what? I want to talk about the benefits of deacons. The benefits. Look at verse 7. Lays it out pretty clear. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. There are benefits to having godly, committed, spirit-filled deacons. There's benefits. First off, the word of God spread. It spread. That's the whole goal of the church, is that what we talk about in here, what's taught in your Sunday school class, what's taught from the pulpit, either by me or by Jack or by some other preacher who comes in, what we take what's been taught, and when we leave out of this church, we take it with us and we tell other people about the Word of God. The Word of God spread. We got a virus that's spreading pretty good. Thank God it's not spreading in our community, and I do thank Him for that. I don't know why He has chose to spare us and not some of these other places. Because listen, it's not about how good we are. Because I'm not that good. And neither are you. But God has spared us. But in other parts of the country, there is this virus that's spreading like wildfire. That's how the gospel should spread, like wildfire. That we go out of here and we start talking about Jesus. Now the first thought on our mind is, man, if I do that, they're going to think I'm crazy. Well, so what? Chances are they already think you're crazy. Just give them a reason. Talk about Jesus. But they might laugh at me. So what? You know, honestly though, most people, that's all it takes to keep them from being a witness for Christ. I remember when I was in high school, I just got saved. I don't know what it was. Maybe I said the blessing over my meal, you know, in the lunchroom, and somebody laughed. That was pretty much the end of that. I didn't want to be laughed at. Nobody likes being laughed at. And sometimes that's all it'll take for us to keep from spreading the Word of God. But what we need to do is take what we learn in this place outside of this place. If we just use what we learn in here while we are in here, and that's it, we're wasting our time. This is not supposed to be a country club. This is supposed to be like the football game. This is the huddle before the next play. We have come together as a team, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in our huddle. And someone's fixing to say whatever the magic word is that makes them quit huddling. I didn't play football. I was in the band. But whatever that is, and we're going to break our huddle, and man, we're going to play, and we're going to play our hearts out. That's what this is in here. This is not what church is all about. The Word of God spread outside these walls. As we empower our deacons for greater ministry, I believe that we will see God's Word going out even stronger than ever. The Word of God will spread. Secondly, the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Even though their numbers had previously been multiplying, now that growth was even stronger. And I have no doubt that if we will prayerfully select the right new deacons that our church will grow to. We've had a little growth lately. Man, I'm so excited about that. But the more involved in getting the gospel of Christ out to the people, the more the people hear about the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, and guess what happens then? The church grows. Now, let me say this about that. That was one of those statements that I thought interesting as a child. Let me say this about that. The goal is not that Newport Baptist Church grows. Do you understand what I'm saying? The goal is that lost people get saved. And then once they're saved, if they choose to come to church here, good deal. But listen, if they get saved and they choose to go to church somewhere else, that's a good deal too. We're all on the same team if we proclaim Jesus Christ. We are not seeking to steal other people's sheep or anything like that, or not seeking to hold on to ours so tight that they can't breathe because we're afraid they're going to go. No. It's about growing the team, not about growing the church. That's the goal. Listen, I want every church that proclaims Jesus in our community to grow. Even if we don't grow, and they do grow, God gets the glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a contest between us and the church down the road. It's a contest between us and the forces of hell. Because lost people need to be saved. Lost people are dying every day and going to hell because they're not saved. The goal is to get people in heaven. Let's move on. So as we prepare to select these new deacons, let me ask you to do a few things. First off, I want you to make this a matter of prayer. I don't want you to show up next week and start writing name down on a piece of paper that you hadn't already prayed over. Okay, I want you to make it a matter of prayer. I want you to read the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. In fact, you might want to write that down. They're on your sample ballot, but I want you to be aware that that's where they are. I don't want you to approach this from a popularity standing or who you like the most. I want you to look for those that best fulfill these specific qualifications. Seek out those who've already proven themselves to be spirit-filled. Again, we don't need some good old boy or some fine business mind as a deacon in our church. We need the person that God has set aside, that God has selected to serve. And after the deacons are elected, I want you to pray for them all. I don't want you to be thinking, well, I didn't want them to serve as a deacon. I'm not going to pray for them. Really? Is that what believers do? God's chosen them, but I don't like them, so I'm not going to pray for them. Maybe some prayer needs to begin at home before you start praying for other people. But pray for every one of them. Encourage our deacons as they serve God in our church. The responsibilities are great. And let me assure you of this. A little encouragement goes a long way. You know that to be true, don't you? Those of you who are still on the job, hadn't yet retired. Or maybe if you've retired, you can remember back. You worked your heart out on a project or something that you were required to do. And nobody said any word of thanks. How did you feel? Does that make you really want to work really hard on the next project? Now, don't get me wrong. Paycheck makes you want to work really hard. But what if someone came up behind you after doing that and they said, man, that's a good job. Thank you. How does that make you feel? Like you're valuable? Like somebody notices how you serve and is thankful for what you do? Listen, a little encouragement goes a long way. Now, I'm not saying this because when this service is over, I want you to come to me and say, well, preacher, that was a good job. I appreciate what you do. No, that's not why I'm saying this. I am saying this because you deacons need to hear that from you. A little encouragement goes a long way. Pray for them all. Look for the specific qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And do a little encouraging along the way. Next Sunday, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. If you can't make it next Sunday, and you already know you can't make it next Sunday, but you have nominations you want to make, you get in touch with Tracy at the church office. And you can come by and fill out your nomination form during the week if you can't make it next Sunday. But I encourage all of you to do this. It's a shame that sometimes we do these nominations and we get in about just seven or eight of them. And they've got one or two names on them. And that's it. That's it. I want every one of you who are here next week to fill out a nomination form and put the names on those that you prayed over. Put those names on there. Every one of you. Not just a couple of you. Let's all do this. Let's all pray right now. Okay? Father, I am so thankful for you and for your word and for this church. Those who serve you in this church. Father, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you have called me to this place at this time. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to bless. Lord, I pray as we do this deacon nomination next week, Lord, that you'd make it clear to us who you want us to nominate to serve. And then, Lord, as a church, we will be united in calling deacons who will be ministering to your name. Father, I pray for those right now who are struggling with the decision to know Christ. Lord, that you'd help them to do that. That you'd help them to come to faith in Christ today. Father, help us to draw close to you. Help us to be controlled by your Holy Spirit. To serve you in all that we do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.